Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 390 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Florencia Sterla. Florencia lives in the D.C. area, and she works as a government contractor in the public health realm. Welcome, Florencia.
Hi, how are you, Jen? I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm super excited to talk to you today. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Okay, so I would have to say around June of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, I was meeting up with my nephews. I was buying them lunch and I had asked them, well, ask your mom what she wants. And they're like, nothing. And I'm like, well, that's odd. Okay. You know, after I kept trying to, are you sure she doesn't want anything? It's a free lunch, you know? So I go there, eat with them, eat some good Mexican food. And then I ask Amy, what's going on? And she's like, well, I'm doing this intermittent fasting. So she told me all about it. She even forwarded me the Audible, the Delay, Don't Deny.
Okay.
So I listened to that. And the next day I was like, okay, I'm starting.
Awesome.
So it was very quick. I started. I loved how I felt. I pretty quickly went on to about 19-hour fasted. I realized that I was never a breakfast person. I always had a late lunch because I realized that when I would eat lunch at noon, I'd want to go to bed. I did not want to keep working. So I would always eat around 3 or 4, and then I would have one more hour to go, and then I would go home, and it didn't matter. And I also realized that a lot of the eating the breakfast and lunch was more what society always said to me. oh, you have to eat 3 to 5 meals a day for your metabolism. Da, 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 da. So that's why I love the fasting, because it was okay for me to skip meals and I felt great.
So you never felt like you wanted to eat all throughout the day. You were just doing what we all did, is following the advice of eat frequently to boost your metabolism.
Yes. And also, up until this point, I had gotten to a place in my life where I just felt like I couldn't figure out what was good for me as far as food went, what I could eat, what I couldn't eat. Well, you know, is high fat bad? Is high carb bad? I was a vegetarian for many years, but I still wouldn't eat here and there. And I remember seeing a nutritionist a few years ago who said, oh, being a vegetarian is what's killing you. You're better off eating meat. Yeah. Yep. And I was like, okay. So I would eat meat here and there, but I've always been more of a pescatarian. I like eating fish when I'm out to dinner. I don't like cooking it at home. And I tend to eat just a lot of veggies. I've enjoyed that. So anyway, for me, fasting kind of just solved all my issues with food. I didn't have to think about what was I going to eat all day, all the time.
Trying to come back to what that, it was a nutritionist, you said?
Yep.
Did the nutritionist want you to eat only meat?
I mean, she pretty much said, well, eating beans and lentils, you know, that's a complex carbohydrate. So right? It's not good for you. It's actually making you gain weight.
Okay. So this was a nutritionist who was under the carbs are bad kind of umbrella. Yeah. Okay.
And it was a nutritionist I never saw again, because I was just like, okay, whatever.
Well, how come, I would want to ask her. I found in a medical journal that the number one food linked to longevity all over the world is beans.
Exactly. Blue zones.
I mean, imagine how much longer they would have lived if they had not been eating the beans. I mean, obviously I'm being sarcastic, but.
No, but I mean, that's when I realized, you know, everyone has their opinions on what's good for you, what's not good for you. And I just got so overwhelmed by everything, because even fish, I always loved eating salmon, but not if it's farmed. I know that if it's wild, it's better for you, but if it's farmed. So I got to a point where I was just overwhelmed by what do I eat? On top of all this, I've had thyroid issues for about probably since my late 20s. It just wasn't diagnosed until my mid 30s. And I have gained weight, you know, I'm one of those people that gained like 30 pounds in a month. And I was just what's going on?
You've had a lot of struggles then.
Yeah. And, you know, and looking back, I know that my struggle has been, so I'm 5'9". My mom is now 4'11", but she was always like 5 feet, not too tall. My sister is about 5'2", 5'3". My dad was 5'6".
So where did you come from?
Exactly. So that's always been the, why am I so tall?
Right.
My parents are Argentinian. I grew up in Argentina. And in Argentina, the average height for a female is not 5'9". It's probably 5 feet. You know, I have no idea, but it's not my height. So at a young age, I was looked at, why does she weigh so much? Why, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, I don't blame my mom, but, you know, they did compare me and my sister to each other. And while my sister was not getting taller and I was passing her in height, I weighed more and she weighed less. So I remember I wouldn't say it was particular a diet I was put on at a young age, but I remember talking to a doctor telling me, oh, you should eat, you know, this in the morning and this at lunch. So I remember at an early age recognizing that I was overweight.
And that you were different also. And how much of that was just that you were taller, right? You know, when you look at the number on the scale, it's really easy to just compare a weight and say, well, my sister weighs, I'm just going to make up a number. She's 5'2". Let's just say my sister weighs 115 and I weigh 140.
No, I think I weigh more like, 160.
I weigh 160. That's too much. You just say, but you're 5'6". It's for someone who, 5'9". For someone who's 5'9" versus 5'2", that's 7 inches different in height. You're supposed to weigh more than her. If you didn't, you would be like really sick.
Exactly. Right? But it's just something so this is where Amy comes back in the picture. So Amy is my brother's ex-wife, the mother of my nephews. she is 5'11".
Okay.
So, and when her and my brother has, they were high school sweethearts. So when they got, you know,
is she also dating, from Argentina?
No, she's from here. She was, I think she was actually born in Switzerland, but she lived here her whole life. And she was like, I think she told me she wore a size 12. And I was like, oh, that's similar to my size. Cause I think at that point I wore a size 14. And she's like, well, yeah, you're tall, Flo. You're never going to wear a size 2 or size 0, which was always my goal because that's what my sister wore.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's unfortunate. Like, I know my parents didn't mean anything by it, but unfortunately my sister and I compared myself to my sister, and my sister probably compared herself to me as to why aren't I tall? Why aren't I, you know, why is she a head taller? Because everyone thought I was older and she was 2 years older than me. So, you
know, I've actually got nieces like that. My brother and his wife, they have 2 daughters, and the younger one is the one who got the tall genes. And that's, she is, you know, a couple years younger, but she is taller and bigger. And the older one got the tiny little mama's petite jeans.
Yes.
And I just, you know, so far they don't seem to be having any kind of problem with it, but I haven't heard my younger niece say anything about it, but hopefully she is not internalizing it. Right.
Right. Right. Because like with me, looking back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I look back at what I looked like in high school, and even though I thought I was fat and huge, I looked amazing.
Right.
Better than I do now. Or I felt like, I was definitely thinner than I am now. But in my head, I was not a size 2. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I was fat or I was overweight or whatever. And even though no one was really saying that to me, I already had internalized that at a very young age. You know, I remember going to the pharmacy in Argentina, and they would have like a big scale that you would get on. And they would always have to move my, you know, the old school, they would have to move the middle. I'm like, just move it up to 200, you know, like don't even bother. So anyway, so I definitely was a yo-yo dieter my whole life. And I've done everything. I mean, as a
teenager, did you first start dieting? Like when was the first time you were like, okay, I've got to do something and I've got to diet?
So I would say by myself as a teenager.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to wear size 2 jeans. I wanted to get the Guess jeans. Yeah. Remember with a little triangle? I've never been able to buy those because they never made them bigger than size 12. So.
Wow.
that's something I remember.
That's so sad for young Florencia, because you wanted to be a size 2, and your body was never a size 2. As you grew, boop, right past that.
Yeah. And I've never gone under size 12 ever.
Yeah.
From all the diets I've ever done, or, you know, I've had my weight losses, but I've never really been able to move past size 12 because I also have hips and a butt and all that. So
you've got a big skeleton as well, right?
Yeah.
If we stripped off everything, you are a tall person.
Yeah.
With a large frame. And if we could do nothing else but teach people to recognize that we have differences based on our frame, we're not all going to be the same.
Right. The height definitely. And also, I'm Hispanic in the sense where I have the butt and, you know, I'm curvy. I'm a curvy type. So let's just say that. And that's something I started accepting about myself over the years. Well, I am not. I'm never going to be skinny because I'm curvy. So I'm always going to have the curves. And like I said, slowly I started accepting, oh, I just want to get to a size 10. At that point, I'm like, just a size 10. Like, I was never happy with the size I was until now when I look back and I'm like, that was awesome.
What's the
saying? You should have been happy.
I wish I was the size I was when I first thought I was fat. That's the saying, right?
Oh, totally. Because, I mean, I weighed 160 and I thought, like, that was my high school weight.
I need to say something real quick. I don't know if anybody can hear this or not. I don't know if it'll come through on the recording, but my neighbor is remodeling their condo and they're in the hallway. The workmen are like sawing tile. Can you hear it, Florencia?
Very, very little, not really.
Well, I just want to tell everybody, if you hear something in the background that sounds like someone is doing construction, They are. They've been doing it all week.
Oh, God.
And I can't say stop doing that. I'm recording. They have to. It's all the title. So you were 160. Was that in high school?
Yeah, that was in high school. And then when I got to college, you know, I had the freshman 15. I had that freedom of I can eat whatever I want.
Right.
I don't have anyone looking at me, oh, you're going to have that cookie or whatever, you know. So I gained the weight, and then I want to say it was the summer of my freshman year, maybe sophomore year. I can't remember. My mom told me about a friend that had done a liquid diet at GW Hospital, and it was with doctors, and they would give you EKGs, and they did all kinds of medical things where it was safe to do that. So I did that. You know, liquid diet. So
right.
Yeah, of course I lost weight. I was also right. young, mm-hmm. you know, as a 20-something year old, you lose weight quickly.
Very quickly with that. Yeah.
Very quickly. I think I lost like 35 pounds in one summer.
Right.
And you know, but of course I didn't keep it off. I mean, I think the following year I was back to, you know, 175 and slowly creeping back up.
Yeah, because you yo-yoed back up even higher than you were, because that's really what the body does. The body's like, oh no, there's no more food. All we have is this weird liquid. And so it slows your metabolism. You lose the weight, but it slows your metabolism. And then you gain it back. And when you gain it back, you actually gain back more fat and you don't rebuild the muscle that you had lost. So you're
exactly.
actually flabbier than you were before. I did that yo-yo up and down. I never did a liquid diet just because I did the shakes programs, but I always chose the one that had the sensible dinner, right?
Right. And yeah, and this, like, I think I could eat like soup. I'm like, yeah, that's still liquid. And
that sounds awful.
You know,
I mean, soup, don't get me wrong, but.
Right. I mean, it was just not, you know, it's okay. I moved past it. I was like, okay, I probably will never do that again. And then I would say like I would say post-college is when I started Weight Watchers. I was just like, okay, what is this about? You know, and I turned everything into points.
Right.
And in my head, I'm like, I can eat that because it's 2 points or whatever. And I was able to, again, lose weight, but I never quite got under 200 again. Every time I lost weight, I would kind of get stuck where I'm at now, actually, around 210, like around that area. And, you know, so I did it.
That was kind of like your body's set point, right?
Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about our body's set points, I really have looked into that and tried to find like some solid science on why we have the set point. I haven't been able to either. I found a lot of theory. A lot of people have theories about set point. All we know is, yeah, that seems to be true. Well, but for whatever reason, we tend to have a set point. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. so good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
And I think, you know, for me, I can probably tell you my set point is probably from 20 years of doing some kind of weight loss diet and never being happy with the body I had. This right. is payback. My body is payback. You should have accepted who you were and move on, you know.
Well, I think that our diet history can change our set point. You're exactly yeah. right. And for me, fortunately, I've managed to reset my set point, whatever it is, like to a new place, right? Where right. I am now. But I think it has taken a long time to undo the damage of the diets. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I also tried Jenny Craig. You know, I was thinking of all the diets, all the things I did to myself.
I lasted 1 week on Jenny Craig. 1 week is how long I made it on that one. And the food was really expensive. And it was just a fancy low-calorie diet where they sent you the food. And I remember, like, the person, the on-the-phone person was like, so you had a great first week. You're going to... And I'm like, no, I can buy my own gross food at the grocery store. I can look... Yeah. But then, of course, I didn't, right?
right.
But that,
you know, and also looking back, I'm like, well, that was my introduction to processed foods.
Right.
Those are all processed foods.
They sure are.
You know, that's not good either.
No.
And, you know, like what I liked about Weight Watchers was more, I didn't have to buy their products if I right. didn't want to. But I still would, you know, just, be, you know.
Easy.
Right. Easy. But I would never, you know, the box of like, I don't know, granola bars, 2 points, I would have more than one. I never had the little mini size. So then I'd be like, okay. I mean, I got to a point where I couldn't track. Once I was over points, I was like, done. I'm not tracking anymore. Forget it. So I was constantly, I'm on a diet, I'm off a diet. When I'm on, I'm really good, which I've taken those words out of my right. head now.
But, but those are the words you were using at the time, and we've all done
right.
it. Yep.
Right,
you're being
right.
good or you're being bad. Like, I'm going to be bad today, right? You know.
And when I was bad, I was bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, then like, you know.
You were on or off at all.
On or off. Yep. And during this time is also when I kept getting tested for thyroid issues. And they were like, no, you're fine. You're fine. I probably went and diagnosed for about 10 years mm-hmm. from my late 20s to about, like I said, my early 30s, mid 30s. And I had a job when I turned 28. I got what I thought was the coolest gig, coolest job ever. And I had it for 20 years. Where I travel around the country doing advanced arrangements for a national health survey. So I traveled anywhere from 50 to 70% of my time. I got to see the country on someone else's dime, and it was great. I loved it. I still love it. I miss it now. But, you know, when I would go to the doctor and I'd be like, why am I so tired? They're like, because you travel, because of it. There was always an excuse.
A reason. Yeah.
A reason.
It's
why
your age. You're getting older.
Right. Right. Your exhaustion, you know. So, and then finally, one of the people that worked with me, whose wife was a nurse, he was like, Flo, you should get your thyroid checked. And I'm like, I get it checked every year. They say I'm fine. And he's like, I don't think so. You should try it.
What was he
doctor.
Going on? What made him think?
I think it was just like maybe my eyes mm-hmm. or I don't know. He just looked at me. Maybe I just look bloated. Who knows? And he's like, just get it checked because my wife has it and mm-hmm. I know the sign. And he was also a nurse. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
So I went to a functional medicine doctor.
Yeah.
And she did a battery of tests. And then she said to me, yeah, you need more T3. Your body is not making enough T3. I was like, okay. And she also said, and you have a lot of vitamin deficiencies. Like you have no vitamin D. You don't have there was so many, you know, I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, okay, yay. I'm going to get a cocktail of medication and this is going to be fixed and I'm going to lose weight again. Because again, this is after I gained like 30 to 40 pounds in like a month and a half or something. And I was depressed. I was just like, So anyway, unfortunately, it wasn't a quick fix. Anyone that has thyroid issues knows this. you know, it's still a battle. I still, you know, I see my doctor every 3 months. She changes my medication, all that. So, but at least I knew that it wasn't just what I was eating. It was something in my body.
Now, did you feel better when you started with the thyroid medication?
It took a while. Okay. Because it took a while to find the right cocktail of medication.
Yeah.
You know, the right numbers and all that. So, but yeah. And so then, you know, fast forward.
I want to pop in something real quick before. Yeah. I love that you kept looking and you found a functional medicine doctor, because that really is, you know, now that I, the more I've gotten to understand the medical field, and I now have lots of friends who are in the functional medicine space through a health and wellness group I'm a part of. And I really understand the difference that a functional medicine doctor doesn't just treat blood work. Your doctor treats the way you feel, right?
They look at the whole picture. Right. They're not just making, you know, for my thyroid, most doctors test one thing. They tested six different things. Your reverse T3, your T3. I don't even understand everything. Like, I still go and I'm like, whatever you say.
Because exactly. You're the expert.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
But I also learned you're your best advocate.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to look out for you if you don't look out for yourself.
And so the reason I wanted to go down that rabbit hole for a second is because everybody who's listening, you know, it is not your doctor's fault. I am not anti-doctor. Teachers, doctors, we all go into these professions because we want to help people. Your doctor is a doctor because your doctor wants to help people, period. Right. And it's a hard profession. It's a lot. But not all doctors understand, just because it's their training, right? And so they haven't really been trained about all that stuff. And so, you know, I know a lot of people, like I said, in the functional medicine space who were traditional doctors and then realized there was another way. And they had to go out and get extra training and learn more. They had to learn how to put the pieces together. But we are more than just our parts, right? It's the parts all together, not in isolation. You ever heard the story of the blind men and the elephant?
No.
Okay. It's a like a fable kind of a thing where the blind men all go and they touch an elephant, and someone's like, oh, tell us what the elephant was like. And one of the blind men says, oh, it's like a rope. An elephant is like a rope because he touched the tail.
Okay.
And another blind man is like, no, the elephant is not like a rope. The elephant is like a snake because that blind man touched the trunk. Right. But, and another was like, no, it's like a tree trunk. He touched the leg. And the other blind man's like, no, it's like a wall because he touched the side. But, you know, the elephant is like all of those things. But if you're looking at a tiny little thing, you're going to miss the big picture. And so that's why I love functional medicine so very much. And guys, that are all of you listening, be your own best health advocate. Find a functional medicine doctor in your area or even online that can work with you virtually these days. There are a lot of people that can work with you virtually. You know, don't ask me to recommend one. I can't do that, but you can find one that will work with you and get to the bottom of it.
And I would have to say the only unfortunate thing about functional medicine is that your insurance doesn't cover it.
Not always. Yeah.
But you just have to remember your health, your well-being is more worth it than a pair of shoes that could be just as expensive or a purse or whatever. For me, I don't mind paying out of pocket because I feel better. That's a really good point.
Yep. I have a functional medicine doctor here locally, and it is more expensive than going to a regular doctor would be. And that is a shame.
Right. But I think that the other thing that I also get upset about is the traditional doctors all think it's weird that I'm going to this function. They are not as accepting. And I'm usually defending my doctor. I'm like, she also went to med school. She did everything you did, plus more. You know, so why? So, but they don't like, you know, she treats my thyroid way differently than an endocrinologist would. And I don't know.
No, I totally get it. Somebody in the community a couple of weeks ago said that their doctor told them a functional medicine doctor for quacks. I'm like, that is ridiculous. They are not quacks. Like, your doctor said that. I would find another doctor immediately.
Right. I mean, that's another thing I discovered, you know, through my years of being alive, that if you don't like your doctor, go see a new one.
Yeah.
No one is making you stay with that doctor. Yeah. And I've fired many doctors because I didn't like what they said to me. I didn't like how they treated me.
Well, we want a doctor that looks at the big picture. And like I said, I'm not anti-doctor. I love doctors. And all doctors go into the profession because they want to help people. And I know that. And we only know what we know. Right. And so it's when you open your mind up and think, oh, there might be another way of doing this other than what I was trained in medical school, sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies.
Right, right.
Who wanted me to prescribe drugs. There are other ways to do things. Anyway.
And also
I'll get off my soapbox now, right?
But also fight. If they tell you they want to put you on some medication, but why? Why do you want to put me on this medication?
And what are the alternatives? And how can I possibly address this through my eating or through what I'm doing? Is there a way I could take care of this naturally? Exactly.
Or Eastern medicine. I mean, I'm big in acupuncture. I do different things. I don't say no to anything. So anyway, back to what we were talking about.
Right.
So like I said, I started fasting and I right away lost a lot of weight. I think it was probably just a lot of, what is it called?
Inflammation, water weight.
Water weight. I would have to say I probably lost about 20 pounds within 3 months or something.
Wow.
And then I met my boyfriend. In the middle of the pandemic, I met the man of my dreams. Finally, because I had been single, not married up until this point. So I met him and fell in love and I
love that pandemic love story.
Yes, yes. And it was hard. You're getting to know someone. You don't want to be like, I only eat once a day. Oh, that's so bad. You're going to lose muscle, whatever. I wasn't ready to defend myself to that point. And I also hadn't read the small font on your book or what you heard, what you said. This is a lifestyle.
Right.
I was not quite aware of that. So fell off the wagon and I didn't gain the weight right away, but eventually I gained it all back.
Right.
Right. So then I don't know. I guess I couldn't get it through my head that this would have to be a lifestyle thing. It took me a while to understand that. Mm-hmm. So I tried something else. I think I tried Noom to see if I could, fix my brain, fix my psychology and stop thinking I'm being bad. I'm being good. Something like that,
Right.
But while I was doing Noom, I'm like, can I still fast? Like I wanted to do both. Right. I wanted the psychology, but I wanted to fast, And again, they weren't that behind it. I mean, they were like, maybe you can try it, but make sure you, whatever. So I wasn't really into it, but then I got to a point where I think most of us get to that I just was like, I need a break from this. I'm just going to sit back, love myself and just, accept myself and whatever. So fast forward to last November.
November of 22. Okay.
I get my period after being postmenopause for 2 years.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, were you fasting at that time?
I was not fasting yet.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Was I fasting? No, I was. Okay. I got sidetracked.
Okay.
So before that, in August of 2022, I found out that all of a sudden I was diabetic. My numbers had shooted up. My A1C had gone up to 7.6. I had been pre-diabetic and I realized it could be because I was in menopause.
How old were you at that time?
I'm 48 now. So this was
pretty early for menopause then. Yeah.
Okay. Very early. I think thyroid can sometimes mess with that. And I think my mom had it very young too.
She went early. Okay. Yeah.
And since I didn't have any kids, it happened quicker.
So your early menopause just tends to run in your family.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I was in peri all of my 30s. Everything,
Hormones work together. That's the thing that is just like the blind men and the elephant story again.
Right.
Nothing is really in isolation. When these hormones are out of whack, the other ones get out of whack too. So very frequently.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everything was just not doing well.
Not doing well. And I started looking into it because I think like a lot of women who had horrible periods and pain and all that, I couldn't wait till the day that I wouldn't get my period anymore because no one told me how awful, or not how awful, but how menopause you deal
it's
with
more
so
than
much
your period.
Yes, yes.
Nobody said that. You're exactly right.
No one told
it
me that.
It sounded really good. Oh, good. No more periods. Yay. Oh, wait.
You feel like you're PMSing 24/7 or whatever. It's, right. It's there's so many things, but also when you're not making estrogen anymore,
right?
Chances of developing high cholesterol, diabetes, all those other things
go
skyrocket.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was not aware of any of this. So I learned the hard way. So like I said, when I went to my functional medicine doctor and she's like, you have diabetes. I'm like, what?
Wow.
So she put me on metformin, mm-hmm. which I think I had been fighting that for a while because I had asthma growing up. I thyroid issues. I don't want another issue.
Right.
But but August 1st, so the very next day I got this diagnosis, I'm like, I'm going back to fasting because I remember reading the diabetes code by Dr. Jason Fung. And I was like, yep, you know, calculation right. in my head, I am doing this. So I was very good at doing it again. I got, I really quickly went to 18-hour fasting window. And now I'm even in 20. I do well around 19, 20 hour fast. And when I went back to see her in, I think it was January, I had reversed my diabetes.
Wow.
While fasting. Yeah.
Wow. All the way. That wasn't very long then.
No.
Just from August to January.
Yeah.
Reversed. Wow.
Diabetes. Yep.
Just reversed. With a daily eating window approach.
And I lost about 25 pounds.
Okay.
So it was.
And
it
were
was
you
kind
also doing any kind of hormone replacement therapy
no.
with her? Okay.
No,
so you didn't
I was,
start taking any
no,
estrogen
she,
or anything?
No, she has me take DHEA
okay.
in the morning and pregnenolone okay. at night just for sleeping.
Okay.
But because, and we've talked about that, but because I had other things going on, we haven't gone there yet. But
okay.
it's in the back of our minds. We're yeah. talking about it, but we're trying other things first.
So you lost 25 pounds, but more importantly, you are no longer diabetic just in a matter of really months.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And in the last year and a half of doing fasting, she has lowered my thyroid medication. It went from like 265 NGC or whatever the thing is to 65. So she's lowered 200. So it, a lot of things improved.
Right.
But the weight got stopped. So,
okay.
So now back to November, that's when I had a breakthrough, you know,
a
postmenopausal cycle.
Right, cycle. Right.
And thankfully, you know, did all the tests, nothing's wrong. I think it could have been kind of like the perfect storm of, maybe, which I think I still would get it all the time, the COVID vaccine. I mean, I still get it all the time, but I
right.
know that may
well,
have
I, there
interfered.
Was, yeah, there was a lot of talk about menstrual yeah. cycle irregularities surrounding
yes.
the
yes.
the COVID vaccine. So
but
yeah,
I
think that's a reasonable thing to hypothesize.
Right, right.
But
and
you had all the tests and there was nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. And but because, you know, the thyroid started working better, maybe it was the last hurrah. Who knows?
Who knows? And even there's the theory that I've heard before. That, I mean, we know that things get stored in our fat cells.
Yeah.
And as we lose weight, our fat cells release things, right?
Right
and
right.
You know, you could have had old hormones stored in your fat cells. I mean, who knows? There's so many
right.
things that could be happening. Or maybe your body's, you know, healing hormonally and starts to pump out some weird, you know, oh, here's some estrogen for you. I don't know.
Right, right, right.
So many possibilities.
Exactly.
But everything was fine when they checked.
And I also happened to be in Argentina. I had gone home for the first time after the pandemic. And I was with two teenagers that were on their period. So I thought I also got synced with them.
Who
knows? I think it was all everything, right?
It's hard to say. Our bodies are complicated, I guess is
the
moral of the story.
That
and there's so
the
many variables.
That yeah, definitely. Yeah. So now fast forward to this year, 2023 has been one of the most stressful years of my life. Everything that could happened. My dad passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. In March, he ended up getting COVID pneumonia. And yeah, it just, you know, and then a couple of weeks before that, I found out that the job I had for 20 years, the contract was awarded to someone else. So I had to find myself another job. So I also went from traveling all the time to being home all the time.
Right.
And I think my body probably went in some kind of shock about.
And there's a lot of stress when you change jobs.
Oh, yeah.
That is hard.
And then finding another job. Thankfully, I was able to find something within the company I'm in, but learning new stuff. I mean, I'm still stressed as there's still so much going on. It's just been a year where my friend's parents have gotten sick.
Wow.
And every time I turn around, someone else died or
my
sick.
Dad is not well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's tough. It's rough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, and like I'm trying to grieve, but then I'm also dealing with work, new job, new, you know, I had one of my neighbors, right before all this happened, I think she's the one that started, this is how all the stress started for me. She committed suicide
in my
neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
I know. She,
That's awful. So you really have had a lot going on that just piled up. And our bodies, when we have all this grief and stress and one thing on top of the other, that affects us physically as well.
I mean, I have been in a plateau. I have not lost any more weight. But the good thing is I haven't gained any weight.
Right.
So I see that as a good thing. And, you know, the last time I went to my doctor, which was a month ago or something, I thought I already started blaming it on my thyroid meds. I'm like, maybe I need more meds because, you know, in the past when I wouldn't be able to lose weight, it was my meds. And she's like, no, you're in menopause. So now I'm finally back in menopause. So this is just regular, you know, a lot of women gain weight during menopause.
You know, when you just told that story, it made me think about Dr. Anna Kabeca. Do you know who Dr. Anna Kabeca is?
Yeah, I think I remember.
She came on the Life Lessons podcast a few times. She actually went through menopause more than one time as well.
Oh.
Like she was in menopause and then it reversed and then she went through it again. I can't remember all the details, but that just suddenly sparked it for me.
Oh, yeah.
With her health and stress. I think it was stress-related kind of stuff with her. I don't remember all the details, but suddenly like something that can't happen. Yeah.
I mean, the stress, like I had during all this, like from February to March, because so much was going on for me. I had, I started getting like I thought I had a bug bite in my forehead.
Right.
It just started getting swollen and I had to go to urgent care and they're like, oh, you have cellulitis. Have you heard of that?
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Like an infection?
You mean the cellulitis? My leg? No.
No, cellulitis, two different things. Yeah, like an infection. Cal had cellulitis when he was younger to mosquito bites.
And I don't know if I ever got bit by something. I still think it was just like a stress release. I think it was all the stress I was dealing with. So I had to go on heavy antibiotics that would cover in case I had MRSA. I mean, it was like legit. Wow. I was on four different antibiotics and it took a while for this to go down. My whole face got, it was just not fun for, you know, and that's when I had to go back to eating normal because I had to take all this
the antibiotics.
Yes. And I could not wait till I was done with the dose and go back to fasting. So that's when I realized fasting is now my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I will never go back to eating three meals a day. I love fasting. I love how much energy I have. Even though I haven't lost any weight this year.
You lost 25 and then stopped.
25 pounds. Yeah. Yep. 25. And also
reverse
diabetes.
Pretty big too.
Yes. And I did take my measurements, how you would always say, take your measurements. So with inches, I lost a total of, I think 25 inches.
Let me see. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's amazing.
23 inches and 25 pounds. So,
okay, and that's fantastic.
And I'm also getting to that point where I don't love the scale.
Yeah, I get it.
This is not giving me what I want.
Right.
But I have my measurements. That's why I think it's a great idea. Get your measurements because it will save you when the scale is not moving.
And I want to really reiterate this for a second. You know, you could feel very discouraged because you know, you've lost 25 pounds, 23 inches. That's a lot, but you're not where you want to be. And you've been plateaued for a year, but you also reversed diabetes and you're not diabetic. And that is huge. If that was the only thing intermittent fasting did, if the only thing intermittent fasting did was reverse diabetes, that is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's changed your whole health trajectory right there.
But it's not even that. I was thinking of other things that have improved. I no longer have migraines. I used to get migraines, you know, all the time. No longer have migraines. This one is a big one for me. I've been allergic to something my whole life, whether it was grass or pollen or trees or whatever, or dogs. Dogs would give me an asthma attack.
Wow.
Cats would just give me hay fever and all that. Mm-hmm. No more allergies.
I love
Everyone was complaining this spring, oh, my eyes are so bad. I'm like, I haven't had allergies this year. I had the other day, a week ago, I was at a friend's house. Her dog was sitting right next to me. And I realized after an hour and a half, I'm like, wow, I don't even have wheezing. I'm no longer allergic.
That's amazing.
To me, that's a huge, that one. And I remember telling everyone with me in the room, I know you all think that fasting is hard to do. I can't drink the black coffee. I get it, but I'm no longer allergic.
Right.
You know,
that's just amazing because, you know, I suffered with allergies for so long, and then to not have to take allergy medicine anymore feels like a miracle.
I know.
Also not hard. That's the thing. You realized when you had to take that antibiotic that going back to eating all day did not feel good anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
You didn't want to. I've said before, you've probably heard me say it, if I could flip a switch and suddenly eat all day long and never gain any weight, would I? No, I don't want to.
No. I mean, I try to change up my hours. You always say that. So I do try to be more liberal on the weekends, but it's hard. I don't really want to be eating all day.
Right.
I feel like the minute I eat, I want to go to sleep. Honestly, I'm tired.
Digestion takes a lot of energy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And honestly, when 20 hours rolls around, I'm not really hungry, but I'm like, no, but I have to eat something because right. I'm not going to make it. I haven't done the ADF yet. I have not tried ADF yet. So I don't want to wake up I know I have to eat. So I make myself eat.
Yeah.
Which I do want to try to change that.
Well,
next.
Once the stress is a little out of the way, I mean, that's the thing. The thing about life, you know, with everything and intermittent fasting, let's just talk about it through intermittent fasting. We have seasons, right? And as an intermittent faster, you might have seasons of weight loss. You might have seasons of maintenance. This has been your season of maintenance because you had grief, you had stress, you had illness, you had all of those things going on in your life. And so your body just said, well, all right, we're going to maintain right now. This is a season of maintenance. And you just cruised along with fasting, meaning you just relaxed into the process and just did what felt good. You didn't push it. But as we, you know, now we're in, by the time this comes out, it's February of 2024. You know, as we get, we're recording this in December, but as you get through the holidays and into the new year and you're comfortable in your job and feeling better, maybe you'll say, okay, this is going to be the season that I try some ADF.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I definitely have that
you
in the back of my head.
But you can. Yeah.
Or try working out maybe. Because I haven't really done that either. I was just looking at my rowing machine. I have a rowing machine that I'm staring at right now. So maybe start doing that 5 minutes a day, start slowly. But, you know, once I eat, I have to do it before I eat, because once I eat, I've been going to bed at 8:30 sometimes.
No, I feel it. When the time changes, it's so much harder, isn't it? Because it gets dark. It's so
leaving
dark.
Leaving work. I know. And I don't travel anymore. So I'm dealing with a cool winter here. Yeah. They say it's going to be a
snowy winter. Yeah.
And I'm like, but, you know, it's my new reality. I'm here. I'm here. So I think that's also my body going through the shock of you're no longer leaving and going to different time zones and coming back. And now I sit in front of a computer for the most part, you know, 8 hours straight. So that doesn't help either. You know, I used to be talking to people and
And now you're more sedentary. That makes a lot of sense. But I think the main lesson is you have so many victories. I mean, no more migraines alone. No. I mean, that is like huge.
And I have more. I used to get like really bad joint pain. And again, this was kind of like a thyroid issue because I don't know if it was low in magnesium. I don't know what it was, but no more of that. No more like my feet, you know, the plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis.
I don't even remember what that pain looked like because I haven't got that in forever. And like, let's see, my asthma has improved because I don't get the allergies anymore that would make it worse. No more dry skin. I used to get really bad dry skin where I would scratch it and then I would end up with all these sore, you know.
Right.
No more. I have not seen that in a while. Like I said, my thyroid, less medication, so that's good. And my blood work improved all around. Mm-hmm. Like the bad things with blood work is stress related. Mm-hmm. So, and that's when I realized stress really does a number to you.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. We saw that in the early days of the pandemic when everyone was suddenly in our Facebook groups back when we were on Facebook, when people who had been maintaining, who had been fine, or who had been steadily losing, now we're under all this crazy stress. Then suddenly people are like gaining weight out of nowhere. They're like, what's happening? I'm like, it's stress. Stress and weight gain go together. So really, you know, if you can make it through a really stressful season and maintain, you're actually ahead of the curve versus most people gain the weight during that period of time. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I keep thinking if I wouldn't be fasting, I probably would have gained from the amount of, this is the most stressful time of my life.
Right.
I'm 48 years old. This is the most I mean, I can't wait till this year to be over because I turn around and something else happened, you know?
Right.
That's why I'm okay. I'm happy. I mean, it was at first, like this past week, I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to tell Jen.
I got to talk to Jen and I didn't lose 100 pounds yet. Right.
I know. And when I emailed you and I told you how great I did, that was 2022. I was still doing well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but I was like, this is life. A lot of other people are struggling the same things I'm struggling with. And it's good to know that fasting is still working. It's doing other things to me. It may not be weight loss, but it's not weight gain either. So that's good.
And I think the big takeaway from every person who has a story similar to yours, where, you know, you lose some weight, you have a lot of health victories, but the weight just doesn't fall off till you're a size zero, right? It doesn't do that.
Right.
But you still, no chance you would be quitting.
No.
That's the big message that I think is so important. You know, this is not like, you know, something you're doing like it feels like a drag. It makes you feel better. You're happy to do it. You have measurable health improvements and outcomes that are positive that you know would go away if you quit.
Yes.
And so you wouldn't quit. And, you know, there's things you can do over time and maybe you'll lose more weight and maybe you won't, but you still are not going to quit fasting. That's in my new book, 28 Day Fast Start Day by Day. I'm holding up an advanced copy now. But by the time this episode is out, the book will be out. I can't wait for this to come out. But the first thing I have people do before they even start is to craft their why and have it be, you know, beyond weight loss. Like for you, reversing diabetes is a powerful why. No more migraines, powerful why. And weight loss, part of that why.
Right. And, you know, I think as we all get older, we all realize also that it's not about weight loss anymore. We want to be healthy.
Yep.
You know, what is my why? I want to be healthy. I want to live longer and not have, but live a good life.
You want to be you want to be vibrant as long as you can. What's the word? We want to have health span, not just lifespan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel amazing. Like my, I'm happy.
Right.
You know, the energy that I feel when at my fastest state I haven't felt it probably ever in my life. So that's
huge.
To me is the biggest thing. And that's why I need to use that energy and get on the rowing machine. You know, that's next.
Yeah.
You know,
but I go bounce on my rebounder. I love my rebounder.
And
I just go jump.
And I have the plate that I got the vibration plate. So
yep.
I've tried that a few times, sitting right next to it. So I have to do all that, you know, but I would have to say another thing that's funny. When I first started this lifestyle, I remember telling myself, it's okay if I'm a one meal a day. And I'm kind of like, you're a one meal a day. I don't eat everything in 20 minutes. It's like a 3-hour, 4-hour thing. But I told myself, once I lose the weight, I'll just go back to 8-hour windows.
But you don't
want to.
No, that is so funny. Cause I did. When I was early in my early days, I was like, I want to find the largest window I possibly can that will allow me to maintain my weight with a long. And I'm like, wait, that was crazy. Cause you think you're going to want to do that. Like, you have people that are new in the community and they're like, well, okay, so maybe I'll do a 19.5 right now, but what will I be able to do later? And I'm like, you're good. You're going to be so surprised at what you want to do later. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to want to do 16.8 forever. Or maybe you will. That's a good window for some people, but it wouldn't be for me. 16.8 is too long for me.
No.
For day to day.
Me too. Once in a while, but then you're just sluggish all day. So then you're kind
of
like,
I don't feel as good. You're exactly right. I don't want to, no desire. And that's the part that is shocking, that you will lose that desire.
Yeah.
You know, you'll stop telling yourself, I can't eat right now. Instead, you'll finally wake up and say, I don't want to eat right now. And that's when it feels like a miracle.
Right. You know, I have a friend who always said, like, she's tried fasting and then she, you know, stopped because she couldn't get rid of the black coffee.
She couldn't stick to black.
She couldn't. Yeah. Which I'm like, it's so easy. I mean, if you buy good coffee, you're fine.
That's so important. It's got to be good coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can't drink it black, just cut it with water, cut it with ice or water, you know, whatever. But anyway, so she always says, I just want a magic pill. And I always tell her, this is your magic pill.
Yeah.
This is magic. Fasting to me is magic.
It is so magic. It really is the health plan with the side effect of weight loss.
Yes.
Now, weight loss is tricky because there are so many things going on in our bodies that determine what our weight is doing. But even if you take weight loss out of the picture completely and just think of fasting as what it's doing for your health.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you've heard me talk about my husband, Chad. He does intermittent fasting. He's the 8-hour window guy, but he never needed to lose a pound.
Right.
But he does it strictly for health reasons.
Exactly.
And he feels better.
Yeah. So, and what I really wanted to say, Jen, because I know we're starting to get running out of time and you and I could talk for hours.
We could. Yeah.
You are my hero. I want to thank you for everything you do, for the podcast, for the books, the great books you've written and everything, because you made it easy for me. I didn't have to go and look at these research. You know, I read The Obesity Code, but I understood about half of it. You know, I just read it because why not? Because you talked about it.
Right.
But that's what everyone that I meet and I tell them I'm fasting, I give them your name and I just say, read her book. And that's why I can't wait for your new book to come out, because I think that it is a lot of information at first.
Right.
And all my friends that I've given it to, I'm like, did you read the book? And they're like,
It's a lot of book. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't, I mean, my sister already bought me your book. She got it for me for my birthday back in May. So I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Oh, I'm so excited. I really am proud of the new book. I think it's really going to help a lot of people understand, you know, how to just make it happen and then stick to it and that it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. But I mean, you're my hero.
Oh, so. I'm just a teacher who likes to tell people things.
I know. And that's good. Good.
I'm really, really grateful. I'm so grateful that technology has gotten to the point where a teacher with a message can start a podcast in her, you know, spare room and put it out there for people who want to hear it, right?
Right.
And that's what I think is just so amazing, that we're able to get the message out, that this is life changing. And there's all these voices out there that are going to confuse you, but every one of us is a study of one.
Yeah.
And you can trust how you're feeling and how intermittent fasting makes you feel. So if you hear somebody say this and you're like, well, that's not been my experience, you go with what feels right to you. Your body will let you know.
And you're your best advocate.
Exactly.
You are your best advocate, because you are telling us to do this because you did it and it worked for you. It's not that. So that's the other key. We're our best advocate. Another way to look at it, when I started doing this, I see it as an experiment.
Yeah.
I'm doing an experiment, see how I feel. If I don't like it, I'll try something later, something else. But yeah. So thank you.
Well, I you're so very welcome. I'm really, really grateful to have the opportunity to share this, because it changed my life like amazingly. Like, I can hardly even believe how I struggled before. It's there. I did. It happened. But, you know, I haven't been that person. This is my 10th holiday season as an intermittent faster. So,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
It's been a long time since I had that struggle, but I do deeply, deeply recall it. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, remember, this is a lifestyle. This is not something you do in 1 or 2 months and then get off of it. This is forever, you know, so just be kind to yourself, listen to your body. If, you know, there's been plenty of times where I was hungry and after drinking a gallon of water, I still felt hungry. So I was like, okay, I'm breaking my fast now. I don't need to get to a certain number. You're not competing with anyone. Mm-hmm. This is for you. So I would just say, be kind and be patient, because like I said, this year, even though I didn't lose any weight and it's been the most stressful year of my life, I kept fasting.
You did.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm happy I did, because of all my health, you know, I reversed my diabetes.
Yeah.
So that's it. Just don't give up, and you will appreciate the energy you get, if anything.
That is
so
true.
If everything fails, you will love that energy that you can do anything. So.
Yeah, yeah. And some people, they don't realize that they feel the energy. They're like, I haven't felt this energy everybody's talking about. I'm like, well, here's how you know you feel more energy. Take a day where you eat all day, and then you'll feel so sluggish, you'll realize you do have more energy.
Yes.
It's not like more energy like you feel crazy. It's just in comparison of the like pre-IF energy versus post-IF energy. And if you can't, if you don't realize it, take a day off, take the weekend off, and then you'll be like, oh, yeah, now I see it.
Yeah.
It's the contrast. Yeah.
Yeah.
No more
and
afternoon
listen to
slumps.
Your body. Right. Listen to your body. Just, you know, maybe after you eat, ask yourself, how do I feel now?
Right.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm yawning a lot. Yeah. Does that happen during the day while you're fasting?
No.
No.
Well, Florencia, thank you so much for sharing your story. And you did such a great job telling it.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, thank you, Jen. You're my hero. So thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.